We are so happy that all of you guys are here. One of the things that we do here at Heights Christian Church is, I'm Pastor Jeremy Bannister, and one of the things we do at Heights Christian Church is we go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. And how we do that is that we have a couple of ways that you can follow along with us. One is you can go to the information desk, and there's a schedule of reading. It has the entire year's worth of reading for you. To read along with us. We also have a YouTube channel that we make devotions from those readings. We do the entire reading for the day, but we have devotionals that help make that a little bit more applicable on a day-to-day basis, because some of the passages, as we've discovered through some of Joshua and through some of Judges, are kind of hard on their own to read, and sometimes it's nice to have something to go along with that. So you can go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Heights Christian Church and subscribe and click the bell, and you'll get devotionals as we're going through our readings together. And then on Sunday, when we come together, our sermons are based in whole or in part on the readings that we've done. So we get to grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. You'll notice we didn't have any readings this week. You know, Sam did such a great job last week. Sam did a great job. You guys agree? Such a great job breaking down the book of Ruth for us. But now we're kind of in this break time as we're getting ready for Easter. And today is Palm Sunday. That's really cool. And we have a treat for you because we have Kathy Wilson here from Chosen People Ministries. And she is going to share with us. She's been working with Chosen People Ministries for 26 years, 24 of them, 25 of them full time, correct? As of this year. I was supposed to read all of this and memorize it and tell it to my children and grandchildren. Did I do that? No, I did not. So, but she has been with us before. As a matter of fact, the first time we were going through the Bible, I called with her, and she actually shared on one of my favorite passages from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier today. It's been 5 years since she's been here, and so we are blessed to have her here today. And she has a message specifically for Palm Sunday to get us ready in the celebration of the Passion Week of our Lord, his getting ready for his crucifixion, his resurrection. Man, we're going to have some celebration this next week. So, Kathy, will you come and share with us what God has laid upon your heart?
Thank you,
and
Pastor
we are
Jeremy.
So glad that you're back. It's been 5 years. We'll make sure it's not so long next time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting us to share with you, to be with you, to fellowship with you. What a wonderful service already. Praise God. And I say yes because my husband Bob is here, and he serves with a homeless ministry in the Metro Phoenix area. And as Pastor Jeremy had mentioned, I serve with Chosen People Ministries, which is a 130-year organization, Christian organization, gospel organization, with the sights on fulfilling the Great Commission with an emphasis on sharing Jesus with Jewish people. And that's what I do. I share Jesus with Jewish people. And I've got to tell you, before we get into the lesson, I've got to tell you, how many of you are familiar with October 7th, October 7th, 2023. Since that time, we have seen such a drastic change on the part of our Jewish friends. I am not Jewish. Let me just ask you this. How many people are Jewish here? Any Jewish people here? How many of you have Jewish friends? Okay, that's a lot. Great. Because you need to know that we are here for such a time as this. I've never seen such an openness on the part of Jewish people as I have since October 7th. Three of my Jewish friends came to faith in Jesus right after October 7th. And the fourth one is seriously considering Jesus. But there are many more. There are many more on the verge. Of course, if you're on the verge, you're still lost. So we need to pray for them. And we've written letters to the IDF. This is something you might check out. The IDF, Israeli Defense Force soldiers, including scripture. You can talk to me about it later. I'm just going to glance through these things or walk through these things quickly because we'll have a table. We have a table in the back, and you can always come and ask questions. But another thing that we've done is we've asked our Jewish friends, and this is something that I would encourage you to do, ask your Jewish friends if they have any friends or relatives in Israel. Ask how you can pray for them. And when we've asked our Jewish friends that, they have wept. They have cried, and they've told us, we didn't think Christians cared so much, and we've been praying. And the last thing I want to tell you about the times that we've had since October 17th, our Hanukkah Christmas celebration. What is a Hanukkah Christmas celebration? We have had, including last December of 2023, we've had 19 annual Hanukkah Christmas celebrations. And we invite our Jewish friends. And saying that it's Hanukkah and Christmas, it's intriguing to them, but we're not baiting and switching because it's about Christmas too, so they know. And this past year, we had of the 250 people who came to the celebration in a chapel that seated 215. Of those 250 people, there were approximately 60 Jewish non-believers who joined us that day. And they were so excited. How do I know that there were 60 Jewish non-believers? Because I talked to my friends who were sitting around the chapel, and they said, we heard them just oohing and aahing and reciting blessings in Hebrew and singing loudly in Hebrew. And we even danced the Hora, if you know the Hora. And it was not, it's usually like pulling teeth, getting the Gentiles to come up and dance the Hora, but not these Jewish people. So it has been so of God. So I encourage you to share with your Jewish friends about Jesus, because so many are willing to listen. And you can even share what I'm going to be sharing with you today with your Jewish friends. So this month, we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Next Sunday, you are celebrating, and I am celebrating, Bob is celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But how do we celebrate today? Today, which is known within the church as Palm Sunday. How do we understand today? We're going to focus on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem 4 days before his crucifixion. And perhaps we'll understand this event in Jesus' life like never before. Let's turn to, however you turn to scripture, your Bible, or by your phone, turn to Zechariah 9:9. And in Zechariah 9:9, beautiful passage that says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus did not just enter Jerusalem. This was proclamation day. Messiah the Prince had come. Messiah the Prince. That's how Daniel, the prophet Daniel, described Jesus, Messiah the Prince, in Daniel 9:25. Now was the time, and what a perfect time it was for Jesus to enter Jerusalem to proclaim himself. Why? Why was it perfect? Jerusalem was crowded with Jewish people. Well, how do I know that? Was I there? Deuteronomy 16:16 tells us that when God gave the children of Israel the feasts of God, God told all Jewish men, and when I say all, what does that typically mean? All Jewish men in the known world to appear before him in Jerusalem for 3 feasts each year. And those feasts were the Feast of Passover, also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, which the church knows as Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jewish men often traveled to Jerusalem for these 3 feasts with their families. How do we know this? Luke 2, verses 41 and 42 tell us that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem for Passover. So the roads were full of Jewish pilgrims, picture that with me, traveling to Jerusalem days before Passover. The Jewish population at Passover in Jerusalem swelled to over 2 million Jewish people. How many of you have traveled to Israel? Okay, I haven't traveled to Israel as yet either, so I'm doing this through the scripture and asking God to help me to envision what it was like. Over 2 million people, I've been told that Jerusalem is small. It's not that large. So they spilled out into the surrounding areas. And Jesus' triumphal entry was preparation for Passover week. But Jesus' triumphal entry, as we know, was also preparation for his death and resurrection. The day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey was the day that Jewish people called Lamb Selection Day. Wow. When I first heard that, I was amazed. Lamb Selection Day. It was the 10th day of the first month. Does that sound familiar? In Exodus 12, 1 through 5, I'm going to be sharing a lot of references in Scripture with you. You might just want to jot them down and check it out in your study time. Be Bereans. Check me out, okay? But Lamb Selection Day was the 10th day of the first month. In Exodus 12, 1 through 5, we're told that at the first Passover in Egypt, God had commanded the Jewish people to take a lamb into each home on the 10th day of the first month. They were to select a lamb. The lamb had to be a male lamb of the first year without spot, without blemish. Well, what does that mean? Deuteronomy 15:21 tells us that animals that would be sacrificed couldn't be lame, they couldn't be blind, they couldn't have any serious defects. Each family was to scrutinize their selected lamb to ensure that it was spotless. Each lamb was inspected for 4 days. And then, if it met the criteria, no blemishes, it was slain on the 14th day of the first month, on the first day of Passover. And some of you might be thinking, oy vey, so many dates, so many little details, but these are significant. I can't stress that enough for what we're going to look at today. In the years following the first Passover in Egypt, the Israelites picked the lambs for their families on Lamb Selection Day. And it was such a festive day. All the Jewish pilgrims anxiously came to Jerusalem either with their lambs brought from their homes, or they were going to select a lamb from those for sale in the temple. The Roman Jewish historian Josephus, heard of him, Josephus? He documented in his work that he entitled Jewish Wars that at least 256,500 lambs were slain in the temple each Passover during Jesus' time on earth. 256,500 lambs. Can you picture that? Oh my, that just made it, I had such a desire to learn more, to go into scripture more so, more in depth, to see what else was orchestrated by God for this Lamb Selection Day. On the very day that the entire nation of Israel was selecting their select lambs, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Wow. And by coming into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day, Jesus was proclaiming without words. What was he proclaiming? I am your Passover lamb. Choose me. I am your sacrifice for sin. Believe in me. And Jesus rode into his family on that Lamb Selection Day to be scrutinized by them. Did you ever consider that? For 4 days. And they found him to be blameless. And you're thinking, no, they didn't. He was crucified. Who found them to be blameless? Who found him to be blameless? Is that what you're asking? Herod and Pilate. Herod and Pilate both said, I find no fault in him. It's in Matthew 27, verse 24, and Luke 23, verses 14 to 15. The Sanhedrin, the ruling body in Israel, sought false testimony to accuse Jesus, and they found none. Matthew 26, 59. The thief on the cross announced, "This man has done nothing wrong," as he was speaking of Jesus. Luke 23, verses 40 to 42. And Judas said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Matthew 27, 4. They found Jesus to be blameless. And so, consider this with me. Jesus being found blameless on the 14th day of the first month, on the first day of Passover, at 9 a.m. in the morning, as the animal Passover lambs were being brought to the temple to be slain, our perfect, spotless Passover lamb, Jesus, was nailed to a wooden cross. At 3 p.m., as the last animal Passover lamb was killed, Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished, it is finished," and he gave up his spirit. Amazing. Our God is amazing. Amen? For today, we're going to return to Lamb Selection Day. 4 days prior to Passover, 4 days prior to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. How did the Jewish people respond to Jesus at his arrival in Jerusalem? John 12:12 tells us that the people took palm branches and went out to meet him. Is that how Jewish people celebrated Passover? Is that how Jewish people celebrate Passover today? Can you recall reading about a feast that God gave to the children of Israel when he instructed them to gather branches, to make booths for the purpose of looking forward to the time when God would dwell with his people? It's the Feast of Tabernacles. They were thinking the Feast of Tabernacles, and we find that in Leviticus 23, verses 33, moving forward. Branches were gathered at the Feast of Tabernacles. To tabernacle means to dwell. The Feast of Tabernacles, that's the last feast that God gave Israel, the seventh feast. What does the number seven represent? Completion. It looks forward to the millennial kingdom. That feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, looks forward to the Messianic kingdom when God will dwell with man, when the Messiah, Jesus, will reign from the throne of King David and rule in Jerusalem. The Jewish people at Passover before Jesus' crucifixion were laying branches on the ground before Jesus. Why? Because they were longing for the Messiah. But what kind of Messiah? A warrior king or a lowly Messiah coming to be sacrificed? Approximately 200 years earlier in Israel's history, the waving of the palm branches had become a national symbol to Israel, signaling the hope that a messianic liberator was on the scene. So Jesus, in his journey to Jerusalem for Lamb Selection Day, was sending a message to the people. And they were what? They were doing what? They were hailing him as king, the one who would dwell with them in the messianic kingdom, which they hoped would be at that time. Are we envisioning Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and perhaps in a different way than ever before? There's more. On this Lamb Selection Day, Jesus linked himself historically and geographically to a particular event and place in Israel's past that would resonate with the people. In 2 Samuel 7, 16, God made a promise to King David. I know that you know all this because you've been reading through the scripture, so I feel comfortable in sharing this with you. 2 Samuel 7, 16, God made a promise to King David about the king from David's lineage who would occupy the throne in Jerusalem forever. And the king would be the Messiah, again, from David's line. The king who would come in the future would be the Messiah, He would be the son of David, Jesus. Jews in Jesus' day were longing for the Messiah. The people were so desirous for the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, to be restored and would be established by the Messiah. They believed that. So let's go back. Let's go back to approximately 975 BC. And please turn in your Bibles, access your Bibles. We find this passage that we're going to look at for a bit, 2 Samuel 15. We're talking about Palm Sunday, Lamb Selection Day, and we're going to 2 Samuel 15. Yeah, we are. And at that time in 975 BC, King David was rejected by Israel and driven into exile by his own son, whose name was Absalom. Absalom, David's son, was unwilling to wait for his father's death, and he didn't really want to hang around and risk a later power struggle with his brothers. And so Absalom plotted and enticed David's most trusted advisor, Ahithophel, to join him, and together, Absalom and Ahithophel led a rebellion against the king, King David. And from 2 Samuel 15, verse 13 to about 30, we're going to breeze over some of the verses and see that David had no choice but to get out of Jerusalem because the hearts of the men of Israel were with Absalom. We're told that David and his household and his servants fled Jerusalem weeping as they left. And in verse 23 of 2 Samuel 15, it reads, "The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. They, the king and his household and his servants, traveled east of Jerusalem, ascended the Mount of Olives." How many of you have ascended the Mount of Olives? I think I would love to do that. Wow. Okay. So they went east of Jerusalem on the west side of the Mount of Olives to begin their exile across the Jordan River, east of the Jordan, toward the way of the wilderness. How many of you have maps that you can access real readily? Because we're going to look at a map of Israel as we go through this. Map of Israel in Jesus' day. Oh, great. Is that points of... Okay. I can't read. I can't see with my reading glasses or without them. Oh, but I'll explain it. We're looking at... these locations, we need to note these geographical locations because they are significant for Lamb Selection Day in Jesus' day in about 29 AD. In 2 Samuel 16, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, Ziba, how many of you have heard of Ziba? He was an ally of King David's, and he met David and his entourage a little past the top of the mountain, the Mount of Olives, on the east side. David and his family and his servants had already climbed up the west side of the Mount of Olives, and they were now on the downhill slope. And now Ziba comes and meets David and his entourage with a couple of saddled donkeys. Now, come on, Ziba, where were you before? And on the donkeys were placed 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, a skin of wine, and a partridge in a pear tree. David, that's why donkeys are the beasts of burden, right? They're called that. Okay, but David and his company had already made the difficult ascent up the Mount of Olives, and they were a little past the top, and then they were given two donkeys, something for us to remember as we continue. And we need to know that David's escape from Jerusalem into the wilderness very likely took him to Jericho, where there was an ancient road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there was a narrow, treacherous path that's still there along a deep gorge in the Judean wilderness. Did you see that on your way in your travels to Jerusalem? Next time, right? Next time in Jerusalem. Jewish people always say next time in Jerusalem. But that deep gorge is called the Wadi Kelt, and it's known as the Valley of the Shadow. In Psalm 23, what do we read? King David's words. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And remember, David left Jerusalem weeping. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So here we see in this account from 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18, we see the rejection of King David by his son that tore Israel apart. There's a civil war going on. And eventually the rebels were defeated and Absalom was killed in battle. You remember reading that, Absalom being killed in battle? And do we remember David's great grief over losing his son, over Absalom's death? He was nearly inconsolable, David was. And he cried out, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son. But God kept his promise to David, and David's future dynasty kingdom would come, but in the future. In the meantime, Solomon came to rule, came to the throne in 971 BC, and he vastly expanded Israel's borders, their influence, and their wealth. He came to the throne in 971 BC. And under King Solomon, there was prosperity and peace, relatively speaking. But in the centuries that followed, Israel continued as a nation to disobey God. And so the kingdom was divided. The United Kingdom became the divided kingdom. The kingdom in the north was Israel with 10 tribes. The kingdom in the south was Judah with 2 tribes. And they were carried into captivity, the north into Assyria, the south into Babylon. And they lived under the rulership of Gentile empires of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And they still do today, essentially, because we're in the times of the Gentiles, if you've gone over that passage. But there was no heir. There was no heir of David at this time. There was no king seated on the throne in Jerusalem. And the Jewish people cried out for the golden age of Solomon. That age of Solomon was the model by which they thought the messianic kingdom would look. And this is why Jewish people longed for the Messiah, for God to restore their nation to how it had been in Solomon's day, and to have the Messiah seated, ruling and reigning from King David's throne in Jerusalem. So that's the setting. That is the setting for Lamb Selection Day in Jesus' day. So let's look forward to a spring day in 29 AD, and the Jewish people continue to yearn for the Messiah. It was 1,000 years since Solomon was on the throne, and it was nearly Passover, and we already sang about freedom in our worship time together. Passover means freedom. Passover, to the Jewish people, it meant freedom, and it meant deliverance. And for Jesus, the time had come. Now it was time. It was the 10th day of the first month. It was Lamb Selection Day in Israel. It was time for Jesus, the perfect Passover lamb, to enter Jerusalem. But he not only chose the day to enter Jerusalem, the day that would proclaim who he is, Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king is coming, lowly, humbly. He's entering Jerusalem with all the lambs that would be slain. Wow, what a picture. He entered as a suffering servant who would die, but who would return as king. Jesus did not only pick the day, he chose the route to Jerusalem. And that route, get this now, I know it's almost lunchtime, that route was King David's path of retreat up the Mount of Olives over the Jordan River, but Jesus took that route in reverse. Jesus communicated to the people at that triumphal entry that he was indeed the perfect Passover lamb, but that he would one day sit on David's throne and rule and reign. the path of David's retreat, but in reverse. That's how Jesus came to Jerusalem. Well, what does that look like? Jesus and his entourage, including the disciples, they began their journey to Jerusalem for Lamb Selection Day and for Jesus' crucifixion from beyond the Jordan, the place where David was heading to go into exile. That's where Jesus began his journey into Jerusalem. Turn to Matthew 19:1. Matthew 19:1, we're told that Jesus had been ministering in Galilee, had been teaching in Galilee, and he was on his way to Jerusalem for his last trip to Jerusalem for Lamb Selection Day and for his crucifixion. So Matthew 19:1 says this: "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings in the Galilee that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, over the Jordan River, the area to which David had gone to flee to exile." So Jesus aligned himself with King David's retreat. And that's where I would love for you to look at the map, to see the land of Israel, to see Galilee in the north, Samaria almost smack in the middle, and then Judea, where Jerusalem is located. Okay, so Jesus had a straight shot from Galilee to wind up in Jerusalem, a straight shot south, traveling to Jerusalem. But he didn't go that way. He took a left. He took a left and went beyond the Jordan River so that he could recross it and go into Jerusalem for Lamb Selection Day. Jesus orchestrated his route to communicate that he indeed is the Messiah. The Messiah had come. The Son of David came. And after crossing the Jordan River on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed through Jericho. I mentioned Jericho before with King David and his fleeing to exile. And in Mark 10:46, we read that a gathering throng joined Jesus near Jericho before they began the 3,750-foot ascent to Jerusalem. And along that steep escarpment, that Wadi Kelt, the Valley of the Shadow, they were in Jericho before going this way. And word had gotten out. He was coming. He was coming. There were expectations on part of the people that the Messiah was coming. They were clearly messianic expectations. There were cries of Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David is a title for the Messiah who would be from the tribe of Judah, from King David's line. And Luke 19:11 tells us that at that time, as they were nearing Jerusalem, the disciples thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. There was no thought of the cross, even though Jesus had told them in Matthew 16 that he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And it's here in this journey to Jerusalem that Jesus shared a parable with a kingdom theme. Jesus told them of a nobleman who went into a far country to receive a kingdom. And he told them that this nobleman would return, but he needed to depart first. Who is the nobleman? It's Jesus. Jesus would soon depart into heaven, a far country, to receive his kingdom, and he would return. And we're waiting, aren't we? We're waiting. We're excited. We want to see Jesus, don't we? Yes, yes. And included in that parable, Jesus spoke of the rejection of the noblemen. And the throng continued following him to Jerusalem. They followed him, even though he told of this nobleman's rejection. In Matthew 21, and that's the triumphal entry chapter in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 21, verses 1 and 2, we read that at the Mount of Olives, okay, a little past the top of the mountain on the east side, sound familiar? David was there, and so was Ziba with the two donkeys. Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead to unloose two donkeys, a donkey and its colt, for his final entrance. Jesus didn't need the donkeys for transportation. At this time, he had already walked over miles of steep uphill terrain. The two donkeys were a prop that would send a message to the people. King David had received two donkeys at the Mount of Olives as he was going into exile, as he received them a little past the top of the Mount of Olives, and he was headed toward the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives and going across the Jordan River. Well, what about these donkeys? Let me see my time. Okay. The donkeys were female donkey. Female donkey was known as a thown. That's a Hebrew word that means continue, to continue, permanence, chieftain, hard, mighty, rough. The colt in Hebrew is a word that means foul, red, and trouble. At this time, was Jesus coming to be a leader, to be a warrior king, to overthrow Rome? No. No, if he was a warrior king, if he was coming as a warrior king at this time, he'd be riding a horse, but he was riding a donkey, which represents peace. No, he was heading into trouble. He was heading into trouble, and so he chose to ride on the colt of the donkey. The name of the colt in Hebrew meaning red, foul, trouble. He could have ridden on either. They both represent Jesus, both donkeys, the adult and the colt. But he rode on the colt because he was going into trouble. He was going to see trouble as the world understands it. But we understand it differently. Jesus told the disciples that they should find the colt on which no one has ever sat. Do you remember reading that verse? That this colt was not yet broken. Well, was that going to be a problem for Jesus? No. He's the creator of the universe. He rode on the not yet broken colt, and the text does not tell us that the colt resisted. No. He was completely tamed as Jesus sat on him. Yes, the colt represented foul and trouble, and the donkey, the adult donkey, represented the future event of Jesus coming at his second coming and establishing the Messianic kingdom. But today, at this 29 AD date, it was time for him to ride on the colt and not establish that Messianic kingdom. King David's flight on this section of the road had been marked by the weeping and the sorrow and the covering of heads. And at this time in 29 AD, Jesus' followers were what? They were exuberant. They followed him up that ascent, 3,750 ascent, going past the Wadi Kelt into Jerusalem. And they were crying what? Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest. I love the Hebrew word Hoshana. For Hosanna, Hoshana. And the cheering crowd, oh, they distressed the Pharisees, the religious leadership of the day. The Pharisees called out to Jesus and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Well, Jesus refused. He refused and told the Pharisees that if his followers were silenced, what would cry out? The stones would cry out. The stones would cry out. What stones? Well, I'm suggesting that Jesus was referencing the stones of remembrance that Joshua was told to set up as the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the land of promise. Why am I suggesting that? What day did Jesus ride into Jerusalem? On the 10th day of the first month. Jesus had started east of the Jordan River. He crossed the Jordan River on that day, the 10th day of the first month. And in Joshua 4:19, check me out, we read that Joshua and the children of Israel, way back after Moses had died, crossed the Jordan into the land of promise. Guess on what day? On the 10th day of the first month. Oh my gosh. And Joshua instructed by God to set up the memorial stones of remembrance did so. And God told them why. God told them why they should have these memorial stones. And he said to them that when the Jordan River, when the waters of the Jordan were cut off, when you passed into the land of promise, and the Ark of the Covenant went before you, when it crossed over the Jordan, the Ark of the Covenant, God said that they were to remember what God did on their behalf. But hear me now, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River and into the land of promise, the Ark of the Covenant went before them. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. And when did that cross the Jordan? On the 10th day of the first month. That Ark of the Covenant points to Jesus. The mercy seat that's over the Ark of the Covenant, where the blood was sprinkled one time every year at the Day of Atonement, that Ark of the Covenant points to Jesus. And when did he go over the Jordan and come into Jerusalem? On the 10th day of the first of the month. Or the first month of the first month. Jesus was declaring himself to the people when he rode into Jerusalem. And do you think he was? Do you think he was declaring? Yes, yes, the stone. And he is the stone that the builders rejected, we're told in Psalm 118. And that stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, Psalm 118, verse 22. Do you know that at Passover, many Jewish people read Psalm 118, the psalm that is highly messianic and talks about Jesus as the chief cornerstone. On that day when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he cried out to the people. In Matthew 23, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he said, "how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And he cried out. And could Jesus' cry have mirrored King David's cry for Absalom? "O Absalom, my son, Israel was called my son by God, by God." Israel's destiny is wrapped up in the Messiah, in God the Son. That's why we have to tell them, our Jewish friends, this, especially on this Lamb Selection Day. There's another link to King David's story. Judas can be likened to David's trusted counselor. Remember his name? Ahithophel, who advised Absalom on how best to find King David, to capture King David and to kill King David. Ahithophel was a traitor. Well, what do we think of Judas? Judas told Jesus' enemies where they could find Jesus and kill him. Judas was a traitor. What did Judas do? He hanged himself, didn't he? We read that in Matthew 27:5. In 2 Samuel 17:23, we're told that when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not taken by Absalom, was not followed by Absalom, he saddled the donkey and arose and went home to his home, to his city. Then he put his household in order, and Ahithophel hung himself. My. Jesus' entry to Jerusalem was triumphant for the moment. From a human perspective, a human perspective would say, "Oh, triumphant for a moment, but no, but God." But to God, from God's perspective, Jesus' triumphal entry was forever triumphant. Yes, the masses that followed him, many of them scattered. And yes, Peter denied Jesus. And yes, the disciples fled. Of the disciples, John alone was at the foot of the cross on that 14th day of the first month, on the day of Passover, when Jesus was crucified. People might have been thinking, this is king? He's king? This is restoration? Is that what Jesus' followers thought of him? Where was the kingdom promise that God had given to David? This is the unfolding of God's plan of redemption? This is a strange way to save the world. But in his death, Jesus had succeeded beyond anyone's imagination. He left, as he said he would, But Jesus on this day, on the 14th day of the first month, had conquered sin and death. And death is the greatest oppressor. Not Rome. Death is the greatest oppressor. We are celebrating Lamb Selection Day today because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this day, offering himself as a king, but he knew the prophecies in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 that he had to die. Jesus rode into Jerusalem to be found blameless and to be slain as our perfect Passover lamb. So Jesus' death means victory, doesn't it? Jesus' death means victory for us. Through his death and resurrection, he gives us, those who receive him, those who believe Jesus, those who believe in him. When I say those who believe Jesus, believe every word that Jesus spoke. He gives us his gift of forgiveness, of life eternal. Yeah, it is a strange way to save the world as the world understands it. And they probably make fun of us, as you had mentioned, Pastor Jeremy, before. They do. But it's God's way, and it costs God everything. So as we are in the season of resurrection, let's pray that we don't miss God's glory. And as we look back at this riding into Jerusalem, as this the details of Lamb Selection Day, have they impacted us? What are we going to do with them? We can greet people today whom you know and say, Happy Lamb Selection Day. Wouldn't that be fun? Happy Lamb Selection Day. And then tell them what you heard this morning. You can say that to your Jewish friends. Happy Lamb Selection Day. It's the day that Moses was told to bring the sheep, bring the lambs into the homes. They would know about that. Let's worship. Amen. Let's worship and exalt the one who is our suffering servant, who will be returning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for every detail of your plan that you have laid out for us in your word. We love you and we exalt you. May all praise and glory go to you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.